are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to another Monday edition of Locked On NBA, the biggest stories with the local experts. I'm your Monday host, Jackson Gatlin, also host of Locked On Rockets right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, we'll be chatting with Cyrus Sotsis from Locked On Warriors as the Golden State Warriors are once again NBA champions, winning their fourth title in 8 years. Where does this title rank of the titles acquired during the Steph Curry era, and what does this title do for Steph Curry's legacy? Then we chat with Nick Angstedt from Locked On Mavericks as the Mavericks acquire Houston Rockets center Christian Wood via trade. Is Christian Wood the right big man to pair with Luka Doncic? Will Wood be better unlocked playing for the Dallas Mavericks than he was with the Houston Rockets? And lastly, as the host of Locked On Rockets, I'll be discussing the Christian Wood trade from the Rockets' perspective, what it means to pick up an additional first-round draft pick in this year's NBA draft, what the Rockets are looking to do with the third, 17th, and 26th picks in this year's NBA draft, and how important it is for the Rockets to be able to have this flexibility going into NBA draft week. But as always, thank you so much for making Locked On NBA your first listen each and every day, free and available on all platforms. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can get this podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available everywhere. We're also on YouTube. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On NBA, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Joining us now is, of course, Cyrus Sotsis from Locked On Warriors. You can follow on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow. We've got Cyrus on a mobile, thankfully, here to celebrate the Warriors winning yet another title back on top of the NBA. Fourth title, 8 years. Steph Curry finally gets his finals MVP. Cyrus, I'm just going to tee you up with one word here. Dynasty?
Oh yeah, I think I heard, was it Simmons or somebody who like kind of threw that on? I haven't heard his newest episode, the full one yet, so I don't know what they talked about in the Dynasty segment. But I know a lot of Warriors fans are listening to his show because he's a Celtics guy, you know. And for a lot of columnists, he inspired a lot of people. I love his writing, I love his podcast. Anyways, but he did diminish the Warriors dynasty. That was the first time I've heard anyone really diminish it. I thought it was a foregone conclusion that the Warriors had a dynasty. And yeah, I think it absolutely is. It's to have this type of run, 6 NBA finals appearances in 8 years, you know, 4 championships in 8 years. Like if this isn't a dynasty, I don't know what is. I mean, like, you know, the Jordan, I know the Jordan Bulls are clearly one, but, you know, it's, they equal each other in terms of the appearance number. I know the Jordan Bulls got 2 more titles. I wrote a whole column about this, like back when in my writing days, which I haven't done lately, but I did a whole story on that, the very definition of a dynasty and whether or not, you know, what qualifies and, you know, whether or not the Warriors can constitute themselves as a dynasty. And I absolutely do. I thought they were a dynasty just from that 5-year run, given just how it was arguably the most dominant 5-year run in NBA history. And just to add another title, I just don't know what would be a dynasty if it's not this, if that makes sense. So
no, absolutely. And I think when you look at, you know, the more recent, the dynasties that are more recent for people, right? I think you have to look at, probably everybody wants to, you know, point towards the MJ Bulls. There's a dynasty, but I also think you take a look at the Shaq and Kobe era Lakers. That's another dynasty. You take a look at this version of the Warriors, that's a dynasty. And then I think you also give credit to the San Antonio Spurs, who maybe they didn't quite have, you know, their championships all packed into like as close of a window, but that was absolutely a dynasty that had a lot of longevity to it, for sure.
Agree, 100% agree. Yeah.
So when we look at this, Cyrus, where to you, where does this championship rank across the four chips during this era of Warriors basketball?
I know that was actually ended up being a topic of discussion on Locked On Warriors, just because it just depends on your perspective, right? And sorry about the background noise. You know, like for me, for example, I never envisioned the Warriors winning any world championships. Like, until that final second tick down in game 6 against the Cavaliers in 2015, I just could not believe that the Warriors would ever win. It never had happened in my lifetime. You know, it hadn't happened in 40 years. So that was just special in and of itself, you know, to beat LeBron James on top of everything else. I know they were shorthanded a little bit. But in terms of legacy, I don't think there's any doubt that this one bears more weight and more significance and just has more cachet, just because, you know, there were, for some reason, you know, I guess that also depends on perspective, but a lot of people still had doubts about Stephen Curry's greatness, about this Warriors team's greatness. There were a lot of holes that people could poke in terms of, you know, critique. But I think this really silenced a lot of that. I especially that game four performance, you know, because that was another topic of discussion was, you know, where does that game four rank among all the NBA Finals, you know, greatest performances? It was, you know, and we determined it's top five. I mean, there's, you know, out, like Jordan's 98 to win the series, his final shot in the NBA Finals. I think that's number one, that overall game at that moment. But yeah, then there's just a lot of other ones that really kind of bear their own weight in terms of importance. And yeah, I mean, we determined that as a top five moment. And so it just gave a lot of gravity to this Warriors team and its argument for its placement among the all-time greats, you know? So I think the second championship is really special in that regard.
I'm lobbing in Hakeem Olajuwon's block on John Starks.
There you go.
Those moments. That's another all-time great finals moment. Yes. And I've got a rep for Houston just a little bit in here.
Absolutely.
I've had nothing but quite a bit of unusual glowing praise for the Warriors as of late. So I need to at least, you know, I need to get back to my Houston
roots
just a little bit here. No, but
I'm with you.
Especially, and so you mentioned, you know, the word right there, legacy, right? And that gets thrown around a lot in NBA circles, and it gets thrown around a lot when you're discussing a guy like Steph Curry. So to you, Cyrus, what does this run, this ring, this finals MVP, right? All of it, what does it mean for Steph's legacy, right? Where is he at right now as far as the all-timers are concerned?
Yeah, I've had some fun shows since the Warriors won the championship, because suddenly you get to have these kind of discussions and it connects directly. There is a direct correlation there, because Stephen Curry with this finals MVP, with this performance, I mean, there are so many, like, you know, if you follow Stat News, for example, on Twitter, like just to see it dominate the feed, I heard someone else talking about that too. It was just staggering what Stephen Curry was doing. I mean, whether or not it was his scoring average on the road, second only all time to Michael Jordan, his 3-point shooting percentage, greatest all time, despite the 0-for-9 game. I mean, despite going 0-for-9, he still easily set the mark. It was incredible. So I have him in my top 10 now. I'll read off my top 10 to you. This is going straight off memory. I hope I can get this right. And I'll try to go, I guess, 10 to 1. So I had Larry Bird at number 10. And I really think that's low for him, but it's just, there's just so many great players. It's hard to, you know, do this. Number 9, Tim Duncan. I now have number 8, Stephen Curry. I did not have him in the top 10 before.
Okay.
And with this performance, he pushed Shaq out. So Shaquille O'Neal, I'm really sorry, but you're no longer, in the top 10. Number 7, Kobe Bryant. Number 6, Wilt Chamberlain. Number 5, Bill Russell. This is going to piss a lot of people off, but I put LeBron James number 4. He has just not impressed me enough in terms of mental toughness. And I just have a hard time digging the fact that he just bounces around so much. Basketball's still a team sport. This is just a personal thing. But for me, sticking with the team over the bulk of your career means something. And, you know, anyway, so, and then number 3, I flip-flop with this. Number 3, number 2, Kareem and Magic Johnson. And then Jordan number 1. What do you think?
I think that's a really solid top 10. And I think that, especially because I'm right there where you had Shaq as the one like on the cusp, right, of being, you know, in the top 10, and Curry the one, you know, pushing him out. I think that's a fair list overall. And I'm very curious to know our listeners' top 10 list. And if you're listening to this, you can go to our Locked On NBA YouTube page and go let us know how you feel about Cyrus's top 10 list in the comment section on YouTube. But Cyrus, This is a, I know this is a great time for you. I know you're ready for the parade. I know you're ready for all the celebrations. I look, congratulations to you. Congratulations to the Warriors on yet another title. And of course, for all the celebration, for all the breakdown, everything that this title means, you're going to have us covered for all of that and more over at Locked On Warriors. I appreciate you stopping by Locked On NBA with me.
Of course, man. Anytime, Jackson. Thanks, brother.
Coming up, the Dallas Mavericks acquire Christian Wood from the Houston Rockets. Is Christian Wood the right big man to pair with Luka Doncic? But first, a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online, because when it comes to betting, you've got to check out Bet Online. They are the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and, of course, Major League Baseball. Bet Online is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting, esports, the NBA draft, and more. And speaking of the NBA draft, right now you can take a look at the odds for who is going to be the number one overall selection in this year's NBA draft. Right now, Jabari Smith Jr., the favorite at minus 180, then Chet Holmgren at plus 135, and then Paolo Banchero bringing up the rear at plus 600. So for all of that and more odds for everything, they've got you for fighting odds, they've got MMA, UFC, boxing, they've got golf, you name it, they've got it over at Bet Online. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On NBA Monday, as always, appreciate you for making Locked On NBA your first listen each and every day. Joining us now is Nick Angstad from Locked On Mavericks. You can follow on Twitter at Nick Van Exit. Nick, we've discussed this most recent trade, the Woj bomb, if you will, landing in the NBA landscape here. Christian Wood being dealt to the Dallas Mavericks for a handful of players: Trey Burke, Marquise Chriss, Sterling Brown, and Boban Marjanovic, as well as the 26th overall pick in this year's NBA draft. You had your instant reaction on Locked On NBA when the trade broke. Yeah, live on the channel when the trade broke. We've sat with it now for a few days. You know, has your opinion of this trade like changed at all? Like, how have you kind of come to let this trade resonate with you and what it means for the Dallas Mavericks to acquire a guy like Christian Wood?
Yeah, when I initially saw this trade, bringing Christian Wood in and the Mavericks not giving up any rotation players, from some of the rumors and some of the things that reporters have been saying, it sounds like they weren't even going to use the 26th pick on like a player that they wanted to roster. So it sounded like they're going to do a draft and stash with somebody or trade it for future draft capital or something like that, because they do have a bunch of players on that roster. Now, they did get rid of four of the back end guys that didn't play at all. They played a total of 90 minutes in the playoffs this past year, and the Mavs went three rounds. So that's nothing for those four players combined to play. And so if to add a starter for the Dallas Mavericks and to get rid of the four end-of-the-bench players, they were going to have to get rid of a couple of them to keep Theo Pinson and or Boban, and then to send that 26th pick. I initially had thought it was a little bit more of a risk than I do now. The risk of giving up that 26th pick, the risk of taking on Christian Wood with the expiring contract, and, well, maybe if it doesn't work out and some of the issues that he had in Houston and some of the issues he's had to start his career in the NBA, like maybe that stuff catches up with him and it just doesn't work out or pan out as much in Dallas. Maybe it's Kristaps Porzingis 2.0, where he's just saying, I want my shots. I want to handle the ball. It's different issues than Porzingis, but some of them the same, where he wants to have it his own way. And if that doesn't work, then all of a sudden the Mavs could lose him for nothing. And then they lose that 26th pick for nothing. They don't get a shot at a player that could maybe be in the rotation. They don't get a shot at trading that pick or packaging it for a bigger player, anything else like that. But now that I've thought about it a little bit more, knowing that they weren't really going to use that 26th pick for anything big, and seeing more of Christian Wood, seeing more of what he can be, I think that the Mavs made an incredible move with this one. Christian Wood comes in and like does a couple of things the Mavs really, really need.
Yeah, it's so funny from the Rockets' perspective of this, which is weird because the way we do these Locked On NBA segments, it feels like we bring in one specific host to talk about their team, and it's like we're in the boat where we both get to talk about both sides of this deal from Rockets and Mavericks. And so From Locked On Rockets, here's Jackson Gatlin, who you can follow on Twitter at JT Gatlin. No, I'm can't,
I say, can't should I throw it back to you?
Yeah, it's terrible. No, always got to derail it when you and I are on a podcast together. But
it always happens.
Always. But from the Rockets' perspective, this feels like one of those few, like, almost win-win trades, because the Mavericks are, like, getting away. It's not quite like highway robbery, but again, to give up four players who weren't part of this past playoff rotation for a guy who is going to come in and be a starter, that's great for the Mavericks. From the Rockets' perspective, they were basically in a position kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, trying to figure out they just needed to deal Christian Wood, because they're going to walk away with one of the top selections in this year's NBA draft. More than likely Paolo Banchero at pick number 3 less than a week from now, with the NBA draft right around the corner. They've got Alperen Şengün, who showed a lot of flashes this past season. And even though in a vacuum, the return for Christian Wood, not exactly the absolute best, just a late first round draft pick. They're also, depending on when the trade is officially consummated, they'll generate some version of a traded TPE to go along with it, either around like $4 million or like $4.25 million, somewhere in that vicinity. So those are the two actual assets you get from the trade. But past that, you also get, like, Jalen Green becomes the true alpha for the Houston Rockets. Alperen Şengün is now cemented as your new starting center moving forward. There's more certainty, more clarity for the Rockets' rebuilding timeline moving forward now that they have moved on from Christian Wood. But when you look at this trade and really what it means for the Dallas Mavericks, how crazy is it to think, Nick, that you've got a Mavericks team that made it to the Western Conference Finals, right? You know, Luka Doncic finally broke through the first round, not only the first round, broke through the first round and the second round to go to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, twist the knife, Brendan Clean.
Unfortunately getting bounced by the Warriors, but, you know, to get there and to now add a guy like Christian Wood to that core and to have Tim Hardaway Jr. next season, right, to add those two guys to this core that already made it to the Western Conference Finals, that's going to be huge for this Mavericks team.
It should be huge. It's going to add a lot of offense. And plus, the Mavericks only had Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans for like the last, you know, couple months of the regular season as well. So this offense for the Mavericks should be really, really good this year. It was 12th last year, when the last couple of years before that, they were number one in the NBA, number two or three in the NBA, I think, the last couple of years. And so the offense should be a lot better. The Mavs kind of have an answer at every single level of, okay, if we can't score in this way, we can bring in this guy. If we can't score the Jalen Brunson herky-jerky, you know, ISO way, we're going to throw in Spencer Dinwiddie, and he gets north-south, gets to the rim, can finish with contact, can get to the line. If we can't score that way, well, we got the Tim Hardaway who can hit a bunch of jumpers like outside. If he's hot, then kind of nobody can stop him. And so there's just all kinds of different options for the Mavericks. You got Christian Wood. He can now, you know, pick and roll, pick and pop. He can do a lot of, he can handle off the dribble a little bit as well. So they just have a ton of different answers for defenses on offense. And it may come as a sacrifice to their defense, because you see they had to really shore up their rotation. The Mavericks, one of the reasons why I think they flamed out so hard against the Warriors is because they had been going just at it and just going at it since January, basically. They were just going and going and going. They were playing a shorter rotation, and Nico Harrison said it after the playoff run. They ran Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock into the ground because they needed those guys so much. They needed to rely on them to basically set their identity. Their identity was a team that defended really well, could switch a ton, could play defense as well as anybody in the league. And then Luka and Brunson were going to give them just enough buckets so that they could win games. And that was the formula that worked for them all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And so now, bringing in these other two guys, Christian Wood, Tim Hardaway Jr., they're not helping your defense any. They're extending that rotation, and now there's more players in the rotation that can't defend as well, but it increases that offense more, and so it should equal more regular season wins. It's just going to be a matter of, okay, does Jason Kidd have enough gravitas? Does he have enough, you know, pull and say with some of these guys that he's going to bench some of them in a playoff rotation possibly, and they're going to have to be okay with that and keep playing team ball, because their chemistry was another big reason why they made that run.
And by adding those two other guys, right, to the rotation, you know, it should basically help kind of maybe alleviate some of the pressure on some of those guys that were kind of like run into the ground a little bit by maybe not having to ride those guys nearly as much in the regular season, really, like, you know, squeezing every bit of production out of them that you possibly could. In your mind, Nick, if the Mavericks can come away and let's say they're, you know, a top three offense next season, what do you think the floor of their defense has to be, like the bare minimum to be, you know, a top four seed again in the Western Conference? You think like middle of the pack? Would you like to see it a little bit higher than that? Like, where do you think you'd be okay with their defense sitting if they're a top three offense?
Yeah, I don't know if there's like a ranking. The ranking from last year. So the Mavericks finished the full season, according to Cleaning the Glass, the 8th best defense, the 12th best offense. And so they played kind of two different seasons last year. They played that beginning of the season where they had a million, you know, hardship penalty guys that came in, COVID guys that came in. Like Isaiah Thomas was on this team. Brandon Knight was on this team. Like there's just so many different players that you forget were on the Mavericks last year. And so then they played the second half of the season where they actually finally locked in. Jalen Brunson even talked about it on Duncan Robinson's pod recently. They said, well, they had a stretch of games where they played without Luka, and then they won a couple of them. They said, okay, well, when Luka comes back, we're going. And then Luka came back after a little break, and then they went for it, and their defense was incredible. They were just playing the best basketball that they had played in a long time. And so you wonder if that carries over to next year. And if that carries over to next year, then that is a really good defense. And then hopefully the offense increases more because of these two guys that you added. But you're adding two new players to the rotation. So can you play that same level of defense with these two, with Tim Hardaway Jr.? The defense that we saw from him last time out was not great. The defense we saw from Christian Wood in Houston was, as you know, Jackson, not very good in certain stretches. So I don't know. If they can be top 10 in both, obviously that's an incredible season for somebody. The Mavericks were almost top 10 in both last year. And so I think that's the goal. Get top 10 in both. Can you just stay around 10 or 8, I guess, on defense like you were this past year? And can you get to top 10 on offense? That's the goal for anybody.
What are the impacts and implications from this Christian Wood trade for both sides? If you're interested in the Rockets angle, be sure to check me out over at Locked On Rockets. I'll keep you updated over there, as well as be sure to check out Locked On Mavericks for the future of Christian Wood as a Dallas Maverick. Of course, Nick, you're going to have us covered there for all things Dallas Mavericks. Appreciate you stopping by Locked On NBA with me.
Boom.
Coming up, the other side of the Christian Wood trade from a Houston Rockets perspective, as well as what the Rockets draft plans will be for the 3rd, 17th, and now 26th overall picks in this year's NBA draft, coming up in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On NBA Monday. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On NBA your first listen each and every day. So, changing gears here and taking a look at the Christian Wood trade from a Rockets perspective as the host of Locked On Rockets, let's kind of walk through this for a moment. So as we evaluate this trade from a Rockets perspective, the return was ultimately a little lackluster for a player in Christian Wood of his caliber, in the sense that this is a walking 20-10 type guy, and all the Rockets were able to get back for him was a late first round draft pick from the Mavericks. It's maybe a little bit tough to stomach from a Rockets perspective, but that's if you just look at the trade in a vacuum by itself, right? If you're only looking at the assets that went from Team A to Team B and from Team B back to Team A between Houston and Dallas, then yeah, you'd probably be a little bit disappointed. But this trade means so much more than just Christian Wood and just the pieces coming back for Christian Wood, because it has a lot of impacts besides just getting back an asset or two. Because ultimately what happens now, if you're the Houston Rockets, is not only are they getting an extra draft pick, which hopefully means an extra player drafted this year and adding and continuing to add to this young Rockets core, what it means is it allows Jalen Green the room to flourish and move forward as the true number one option for this Houston Rockets team. This past season, there was a lot of uncertainty. There wasn't a whole lot of clarity within that Rockets locker room as to the direction of the team. At times, it felt like there was maybe some pecking order questions about who's supposed to be taking the most shots on the team, who's the true number one option, all this. And ultimately, Christian Wood just didn't work out with the Houston Rockets because his timeline just no longer matched what the Rockets were trying to do. Christian Wood was ultimately brought to the Houston Rockets to be paired with James Harden, and that experiment only lasted 9 games. And then the Rockets were in this weird transitional year where they had a pseudo team around Christian Wood and John Wall and then Victor Oladipo, where they were kind of competitive, kind of not, and then they bottomed out and were the worst team in the NBA. And then Jalen Green got drafted. So the direction of the franchise changed rather drastically, seemingly overnight. And Christian Wood's involvement in the franchise, as far as his long-term future, became rather murky. And so this past season, there was a lot of confusion at times as to, okay, is this Jalen Green's team? He's the number two overall pick coming in. He's a top tier rookie, but Christian Wood still taking the most shots on the team. Is he the best player? Whose team is it? All of this. So all of that is now squashed. That's gone. This is Jalen Green's team moving forward, and he showed that at the end of the season when Christian Wood was shut down for the remainder of the calendar year, and Jalen Green scored 30-plus in six of his final seven games. So that happens, and then from the other side of things, the Rockets also now have their center of the future in Alperen Şengün. There's no more question marks about Alperen Şengün having to come off the bench or playing behind Christian Wood, anything of that nature. Alperen Şengün will be the starting center for this Houston Rockets team moving forward. So having clarity on those two fronts is huge for this Houston Rockets team. No questions lingering over how you're going to deal with a front court logjam by bringing in Alperen Şengün and Christian Wood and Usman Garuba and whoever they take at number three overall in this year's NBA draft. They wouldn't have had enough minutes to factor to all those players in a front court setting. Now, when we look at the draft for the Rockets, they have now, by way of this trade and getting rid of Christian Wood, they have the 26th overall pick from the Dallas Mavericks to pair with the third overall pick that they have and the 17th overall pick that they have from the Brooklyn Nets. This is an incredible position for the Rockets to be in because more draft capital gives them flexibility, the possibility of maybe packaging picks 17 and 26 to try and move up a little bit. It also presents the possibility of them maybe being able to take pick 17 and trade out of this draft, because while bringing in three rookies sounds kind of nice, you get kind of three cracks at it to be successful. Or at least with pick 17 and pick 26, you get a couple cracks at some rookies that are a little bit later, may or may not pan out later in the draft, right? If they don't necessarily want to make all three selections, they could very easily trade out of pick 17 or trade out of pick 26 and move it for another draft asset a little bit further down the line, maybe a heavily protected first round draft pick from another team, somebody who's trying to find their way back into the first round of this year's NBA draft, even if it is a later pick like 17 or 26. So they have options. And at the end of the day, it's the flexibility, it's the options of having that extra pick in the cupboard to try and do something with. And making this trade a week before the NBA draft was important to give them the time that they need to kind of survey the landscape and see if there are other trades out there. But the way things look right now, the Rockets are in the position where they don't exactly have a choice of who they're going to take at number three. All signs point towards Jabari Smith Jr. going number one overall to the Orlando Magic. And right now, Chet Holmgren is the odds-on favorite to go number two to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the Rockets are going to more than likely walk away with Paolo Banchero at number three, which is a huge get for this Houston Rockets organization, because in the immediate aftermath of the James Harden era, to be able to pick up two back-to-back premier tier one talents in back-to-back drafts is absolutely a way to jumpstart a rebuild if you are a team that just wound up being going from, you know, the top of the NBA life cycle where you're competing for championships year in, year out, and you are a top tier playoff team, to being the worst team in the association in back-to-back years. This Rockets team will be the only team in these two back-to-back drafts to come away with a true tier one prospect, somebody widely regarded as one of the top prospects in these drafts, because last year they got Jalen Green at number two. This year they're going to walk away with more than likely Paolo Banchero at number three, possibly Chet Holmgren if he does fall down to three, if the Oklahoma City Thunder decide that they are more intrigued by Paolo Banchero at number two, which is still a possibility at this point. And then to also have pick number 17 and 26 to work with, so many different talented players around those numbers that make a lot of sense for this Houston Rockets team. A couple guys that I've consistently had my eyes on around 17 and 26 for the Rockets would probably be Tari Eason from LSU and then Marjan Beauchamp from the G League Ignite. Two guys who are very enticing prospects when you consider where the Houston Rockets have some weaknesses on the wings. They lack a little bit of size out there. Tari Eason seems like he's going to be a very prototypical kind of 3-and-D type player at the NBA level, shooting a very solid percentage, about just over 37% in college. Has good size, can defend 1 through 5. And then Marjan Beauchamp has shown a lot of potential as a kind of defensive ace type wing with the G League Ignite. You know, has all the skills to be a physical, high-level role player on the wing. The one question mark with him is will his shot actually pan out at the NBA level? He did not shoot a great percentage for the G League Ignite, but he's still a guy that if the Rockets could walk away with a draft haul of Paolo Banchero at number 3, Tari Eason at 17, and then Marjon Beauchamp at pick number 26, that would be an absolute win. And then two back-to-back years where the Rockets completely crush it in the NBA draft. And again, that is a huge way to start off a rebuild if you're a team like the Houston Rockets. For more breakdowns of what the Christian Wood trade means for the Houston Rockets, as well as what their draft plans are in this year's NBA draft, be sure to check me out over at Locked On Rockets. But that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On NBA. Now, if you haven't done so yet, you need to go check out the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, where the first picks have already been made. Search now for the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft wherever you get your podcasts. You'll listen to over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports experts, the draft experts of the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is already underway. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today. That's going to do it for our show today. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check out the show on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On NBA, like, comment, subscribe. But as always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On NBA. Biggest stories with the local experts.